Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Ball just on the Detroit side of the 50. Slovis steps up to the center. Eli Cox takes a knee, and it is over. The preseason comes to an end with a dominating performance by the Texans, 26-7. They go 2-1 on the preseason, and look forward to the opener, September 7th at L.A. Let's go. Houston, ready for the Rams.
All of our coaches, this is important for me to get input from everyone. Our position coaches, special teams coaches, we're all in this together. So it's not just ultimately the decision will come down between myself and Nick. It won't be a rash decision because we've been thinking about this for a while, and it all works itself out in the end. And I know we'll have, wherever those 53 guys are, we're going to have 53 tough guys who are mentally and physically tough and ready to hit the season run.
All right, so that's the project now for the next 24 hours or so. Put a roster together based on training camp, based on what they've seen in the offseason, based on the three games. You heard the final call right there. Mark Vandermeer on the call. The Texans win on Saturday 26-7 over the Detroit Lions, and the preseason is over. And now our long 13-day wait begins for week one to get here. Welcome in, everybody. I am Sean Pendergast on a Monday. He is Seth Payne. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm still perpetually peeved that the NFL decides to take Labor Day weekend off.
Yeah.
You know, we'll work on Christmas, but Labor Day, no, it's sacrosanct. We will not work on Labor Day weekend.
It's a long 2 weeks, man.
It's not that they're honoring Labor Day. It's that they just, especially in the Northeast where people start school after Labor Day.
Yeah.
I think it's people don't get the viewership on Labor Day that they want. So.
Yeah.
The Texans last year announced all of their final cuts basically right at the deadline on Tuesday. So for all of you who are refreshing your social media every 15 minutes trying to figure out what's going on.
It's a fool's errand.
Yeah, there's probably going to be a few leaks here and there. Just, you know, if the Texans are trying to see if there's interest for a trade or something like that.
Yeah.
But by and large, you're probably not going to hear a lot of news until tomorrow. That's what I suspect. I might be completely wrong on that. Maybe they change their tactics.
Well, some teams have had cuts so far. You're right. I mean, D'Amico said we're going to take we don't just do this willy-nilly. We're going to take a good strong look at it. And this is granted, there are a few positions that I think the depth resides on other teams' rosters right now, probably the back end. The secondary might be one of those. There may be one or two other position groups where the Texans will be shopping around to see what recyclables people have put at the end of their driveway. But this is going through the exercise, and we'll go through it a little later in the show at 7 o'clock and look at it a little deeper. This is absolutely the deepest team they've had since D'Amico Ryans got here. There's no question about that.
Yeah, this is the first time, and a lot of our listeners have echoed that comment, that this is the most closely they've been watching the back end of the depth chart, and where it feels like, oh, man, one of these running backs is probably going to get cut, and it's going to hurt a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think people have formed an affection for Jawar Jordan. How could you not? He's a small guy that runs like a big guy, or at least tries to. He goes between the tackles. He's brave. He's flashed in the preseason.
He's looked good. That's the big thing. That's the big thing.
But especially
thing.
As a smaller guy. You love the smaller guys that just do everything.
Oh, for sure.
Everything that a smaller guy needs to do. Like, okay, is he scrappy? Is he tough? All of that. It looks like he is.
Yeah.
But he might just get squeezed out because of numbers. British Brooks, likewise. So there's a lot of guys that people really, really like, and hopefully the Texans can keep on the practice squad, but who are at risk of being cut in the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah, we'll go through some of those battles here. I think we'll do it more at 7 o'clock when we've got a little bit more room to kind of spread the whole thing out here. It feels to me, Seth, after doing kind of the chicken scratch math on the back of a napkin last night, it feels like there's about six or seven spots that are in a state of flux right now, kind of fluid, and there's like 14 or 15 guys going for those six or seven spots right now. We'll lay out all the names and stuff later in the show. As far as the game on Saturday goes, the end result, you know, that's not going to impact the Texans nor the Lions one iota during the regular season. I do think there are a couple of takeaways I had from it, though, that were encouraging to me that do map more towards big picture stuff. And the first is the depth. You know, that is your depth out there fighting against another team's depth. These last two games, the win over the Panthers and the win over the Lions. Look, you won those two games by a combined 46-10. Your backup guys, I don't know if they're more talented than the Lions guys, but this kind of goes to my second point, which is the way that they've executed. I don't care if it's been the ones, twos, or threes out there on either side of the ball. This is at least an indicator of a, on the offensive side especially, a better coached team than last season.
Yeah, and I think you already started off taking everything with a grain of salt in the preseason, but then last week especially, because it was the Panthers who were a bad football team last year, one of the worst defenses in league history last year, you take that with an extra grain of salt. Mm-hmm. This week it's going against the Detroit Lions, and it sounds like they had a very competitive joint practice on Thursday when it was ones versus the ones. But then when you get into the depth, your team is really taking another good team's depth to the woodshed.
Yeah.
So that's good to see, and I don't think it's something that we would have seen in the preseason last year necessarily. Yeah. Graham Mertz, I don't know where the hell that came from.
Dude.
14 of 16, and the two incompletions might have just been miscommunications between him and the receiver.
Yeah.
So it was even better than the 14 of 16 might suggest. He didn't make a bad pass. He had the one to Cephas in the end zone where Cephas tapped his chest on the way back to the huddle. And I think he just, you know, because the ball was placed right there in bounds. If he had just looked forward earlier and gotten outside. And then there was the one down the sideline. Likewise, it dropped exactly where the wide receiver could have caught it along the sideline.
Yeah.
So whether it was miscommunication or whatever, I mean, he was, for all intents and purposes, he basically had a perfect first half.
He did. Yeah, he was 14 of 16 for 145 yards. Well, the Cephas one, too. They went right back to it on the other side of the end zone.
Right,
to Cephas.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like it's like, well, let's try it again. Let's get it right. And apparently Cephas had a catch like that in the joint practice on Thursday as well. I don't think he's making the team. There were a lot of these receivers who aren't going to make the team who had really good games on Saturday.
That Cornell Powell. Who started off on the TV broadcast. I felt so bad for Cornell Powell because Tre'Mon Smith had a nice return.
Yeah.
And because they're both wearing number 11, he was misidentified as Cornell Powell by the broadcasters. They quickly corrected it. But I felt bad for Cornell Powell. I was like, oh, man, guy gets his name. You know, they get all excited about him. His parents might have gotten excited for a brief moment.
Not even him.
Yeah, and then but then he goes off.
Yeah,
he goes off in the game.
Yeah,
good for you, Cornell Powell.
Six catches for 63 yards. Quintez Cephas had four catches for 51 yards and a touchdown. Now he did juggle a ball that turned into an interception, so that wasn't good for for old Cephas. But none of these guys are making the team. But some of them may get brought back on the practice squad. I mean, the guys playing in the second half of that game are campaigning just as much to get a jersey on the practice squad.
Yeah.
As the guys in the first half are campaigning to make the 53 or work their way up the depth chart.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fighting going on out there.
Yeah, and they've, you know, Cephas has been here before, but both those guys, I think one of those guys at least might have made himself an insurance policy if he doesn't get picked up elsewhere, because I think the Texans are going to want to keep at least one of those guys.
When you were a rookie, you were drafted in the fourth round. Did you, on this day, you know, the day or 2 days after the final preseason game where they're cutting down the roster, did you think you were making the team?
I was pretty sure. I think a coach had basically told me,
really?
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd had a pretty good preseason. Yeah. I knew from the offensive lineman that I was probably going to make the team.
Okay. Yeah. Because the next day, the next 24 hours, from everybody you talk to who've been on the bubble before, is they're sitting around hoping their phone doesn't ring. If your phone rings, that's a bad sign.
That was the biggest, that was a kind of a shock to me, was when I started seeing guys from my rookie class get cut.
Yeah.
And just kind of, I showed up at the facility as a couple of them were walking out, and I, you know, stopped and talked to one of them. And it was, you got to remember, for a lot of guys, this is like the first time in their life they've ever been rejected from a sports team.
That's right.
You go through your entire life, usually being one of the best guys on every team you've been on.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got a football team picking you last at recess, or not picking you at all.
Not even picking you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even.
They're like, no, I'm going to take the kid that eats his boogers. Yeah. No, we're not taking you.
And sometimes you don't get picked because you're the new kid and you just moved in. They don't know what you can do. This is after watching you.
Right.
For 8 jillion snaps through the preseason, they're like, yep, we watched you, and we still don't want you.
I saw that kid get his shoelaces tied up in the jungle gym. There's no way in hell we're having him on our team.
That's right.
So it's a shock to the system when you've been rejected for the first time in your life like that. And, I remember seeing one of my One of the guys in my rookie class, kind of, I could see he had tears in his eyes and everything. He's just walking out.
Yeah, man.
Bad.
Yeah, a lot of them. It's the last time they
buck up. Get a hold of yourself,
yeah,
man.
Like the Godfather, shaken by his lapels. You can act like a man.
Gave him the old movie slap.
Yes,
front
yes.
and back slap.
With a glove. You pulled a glove out of your pocket and slapped him in the face.
You're going to pick yourself up off the turf and you're going to get back in there. He actually ended up doing really well.
That's
in the
good.
Financial.
That's good.
Financial. Yeah.
Oh, not in football, though. Yeah.
No.
What's your biggest concern still coming out of training camp here?
My biggest concern is depth in the secondary.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo Ross did not help me feel any better about that. The D'Angelo Ross
he won't be
missing
here,
an arm tackle on that kickoff return, that's what started it off for me.
You mean D'Angelo Ross?
Who is that?
Who's on the team for special teams purposes?
Who is that just casually throwing a left arm in the direction of the returner before he goes another 30 or 40 yards? Oh, and then, okay, great. I guess this Tesla has been having a great camp and whatnot, but I don't know. Could you put up a fight a little bit?
Yeah.
So the depth in the secondary right now is a lot of guys who have been the depth in the secondary in previous seasons when we've thought, I'm not so stoked about depth in the secondary.
No. MJ Stewart might be starting at safety for you in week one if CJ Gardner-Johnson doesn't come back. That's not ideal. Like guys like Tremont.
It's not ideal, but it's also MJ. I'm not as concerned about the one safety. I like C.J. Gardner-Johnson a lot better.
Of course.
At least they've played good defense out there with M.J. Stewart on the field.
Yeah.
The cornerbacks are just so crucial.
Yeah.
And right now, I don't feel all warm and fuzzy inside about it.
That Jalen Smith, the third-round rookie, is as vital to the infrastructure of the secondary right now. You're right, is an indicator. You know, he's been a pro for 2 months or whatever it is. And now, like, boy, if Jalen Smith goes down, you drop off a cliff at that slot corner spot.
Well, and that's where, too, if Jalen Petrie goes back and plays safety, then, or if Miles Bryant goes back and plays safety, then that depth at cornerback is tested even more.
Yep. All right, so we'll get into that. I think that is a big one. I think there's other concerns as well coming out of camp, but overall pretty good. Now, running back. And by the way, Astros take 3 out of 4 from the Orioles this week, and we'll dig into that at 6:45 today on the show. We had Damian Pierce on the postgame show on Saturday. And Damian Pierce, always brutally honest, assessing himself, but I think also let us in a little bit, at least for him, on what the issues were last season for Damian Pierce. This is some audio you won't want to miss. This was Damian Pierce on the postgame on Saturday. We'll hit that coming up next. Stay there.